I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Buck Sexton, and you're listening to the Tudor Dixon Podcast, part of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Today, I am joined by one of the strongest female voices in the fight for free speech. Sage Steele took on one of the largest corporations in the world for silencing her right to speak her mind on topics like the COVID vaccine mandates. And get this, her own experience as a biracial woman. I mean, that's where we are today. As a standout champion for First Amendment rights, she actually risked it all. Sage put her dream job, financial interests, and longstanding presence on ESPN all on the line, but she won that battle and she continues to speak her views today. People are actually, I know you know this, but people are actually waking up to the reality that corporations and politicians that drone on about inclusivity and diversity, those are actually just canned lines, because without diversity of thought, we really don't have diversity at all. And Sage is fighting to stop that silencing. Before I bring Sage on with me, I want to talk to you about something. We've all seen the wildfires and everything that are going on around the country. And I wanted to talk to you about EnviroCleanse because I have it in my home. And honestly, you should choose an air purifier like your life depends on it, because it actually might. More than 35,000 of those wildfires have devastated the U.S. this year. The toxins and particles in wildfire smoke can actually penetrate our lungs and threaten our health. And that's why EnviroCleanse developed military-grade air purification for your home. They just announced their biggest sale of the year. You can save a massive 30% off during their Labor Day sale. EnviroCleanse is specifically designed to wipe out airborne chemicals and viruses known to cause illnesses, allergies, and difficulty breathing. Even those toxic gases and particles found in wildfire smoke are no match for EnviroCleanse. That's why the U.S. Navy selects EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air in their facilities. And EnviroCleanse comes with a free professional air quality monitor, so you know your family is breathing purified air. Now's the time to save 30% off your air purification unit. Get the free air quality monitor and fast free shipping. That's a $250 savings. Make sure you visit ekpure.com and use code Dixon. That's ekpure.com, code Dixon. Once again, ekpure.com, code Dixon. Awesome. Now I want to bring in Sage Steele. Sage, thank you so much for joining me today. I love what you're doing. I think being a champion for free speech is so important, but I also think it is kind of shocking to hear that you had this huge platform and you stepped away because you were being silenced on many issues. Can you just kind of tell us about that?
Yeah, well, it's so nice to meet you, Tudor, and I followed you for a while. So thank you for having me on. I am... I'm still kind of in shock, I think, that it's to this point.
Yeah.
That I'm here and unemployed. You know, I have been working since I was 15. My first job at Dairy Queen in Colorado Springs with like the little Red Riding Hood scarf on my head. And so I'm almost 51 and I'm like, wow, what's that, 36 straight years? So I guess it's okay to breathe for a little bit, but here's the thing. I want to breathe, but I don't want to go away because I feel like there's too much going on. There's too many important things. And I just never thought I'd be here. I never thought that by being honest, about myself and my own story, my own opinions, on things that were personal to me, like you said, as a biracial woman and just not wanting to get the vaccine, the mandate was what I had a problem with, while respecting others and their opinions and their preferences with that. I can't believe that that got me in so much trouble. And then I was scared and I apologized because I was told I had to keep that job, that dream job, and the job that I've worked so hard for and at for so long. But it was just, listen, there've been a lot of things leading up to this, at work and just as a young woman back then, not young anymore, just that got me to the point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I couldn't look myself in the mirror, just remaining silent about things that were so important to me. But most importantly, it's the hypocrisy in allowing some to speak if they fit a certain narrative and not others. And I just now I'm kind of done and I call BS on all those people who preach diversity and equity and tolerance. And I've been saying, I remember I gave a speech at my alma mater probably in 2008. And the title of it was, and I thought it was so cute. I was like, diversity, but mean it. And it evolved into this diversity of thought, which I've been saying for years as well. And I just think that's the foundation. It needs to be the foundation for diversity. If we don't begin here with diversity of thought, the other stuff, you don't mean that either.
But basically, that was what the country was always based on. I mean, that was what the founding fathers wanted. They wanted to be able to say whatever. They were coming from countries where if you had a thought that was outside of what the king wanted, your head was on a pike outside of the castle. Like, this is what people don't understand. And I think that folks look at someone like you and they say, wow, how could this person, how bad could it possibly have been to walk away from a contract with ESPN? And I think that's the point. I see people, what I think is interesting, I've been watching on Twitter the battles back and forth, and I see people who are so scared by the fact that you stood up. The other side that is so scared that you stood up that they have to try to humiliate you and degrade you and pull you apart. But the funny thing is, it's not that different than what was happening when you were there, because you tell stories of being told you weren't black enough. You couldn't talk about being biracial. You had to be black. Explain to us what that was like, because it's an experience, obviously, I haven't had. I talk a lot about my experience being a woman running for office and how I was treated just being a woman. But obviously, I haven't had somebody question my skin color and what how I should identify there.
Actually, can I ask you real quick, because you said something that maybe I hadn't thought of, and that was with what happens on Twitter and fear and them being scared as to why they respond with such hatred. Is that what, I mean, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I tune a lot out, and I have gotten to the point where I'm really good at not paying attention and being okay with being disliked, which was a major hurdle to overcome for the last 50 years. You know what I mean? Maybe it is fear. I don't know. I need to think more about that.
I think I see it as, I mean, when I see the responses, I see people who are like, oh no, we lost her. And we lost someone who had it all. I mean, In their opinion, you know, looking at your life, how could it get better? We can't let her come out and expose that it wasn't that great behind the scenes, that diversity really isn't there, that you can't actually have diversity. You can only be in their label of diversity. And I think that really terrifies the people who want to control that term.
And you know what? It's a great point. I'm so glad you brought it up. And it's just, for me personally, I couldn't do it any longer. And yes, it had gone on since I was a little girl. And when, you know, my dad was in the military and a proud Army brat, and it didn't seem to matter as much in the military. And everybody was just so accepting and tolerant because we all knew what it was like to be the new kid or the new family. And there were so many interracial couples and marriages. It just didn't matter. So when people get mad when you say, I don't see color or race doesn't matter, that's how I was raised. And to me, it was a beautiful thing. So I don't know why that's so bad. And I'm not going to stop saying it because I'm not an idiot. And I obviously see the issues involved with it. But the goal is to become more and more tolerant and not judge people. What did Martin Luther King say, right? Content of character versus color of skin. It's really so simple. The second half of your question was about just not being told I'm not Black enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's happened my whole life. I think the worst part was when it happened at ESPN. And that's pretty well documented about how I wasn't allowed to be on a special on race and sport. And it was in the summer of 2020, so after George Floyd. And I'd been there for a very long time. So I had a lot of friends who were behind the scenes who would hear things and be like, hey, FYI, for random things. And this was one of them where the people on the special were kind of, bragging about the fact that they got me kicked off because they said they wouldn't be part of the special if I were on it because I'm not part of the real Black community. I'm not accepted by the Black community. Yeah. Which is fascinating that they think that they can speak for an entire culture community.
I think that's what I've heard so oftentimes is that, even Harris Faulkner a few weeks ago on Outnumbered, she said, I just want to push back on something. Don't call the Black community one group. We are diverse. You don't call it the white community. And we really don't, we don't lump everybody in by color. And that I think is the shame in this. And I think it's interesting to hear you go, I don't see color. You have a unique perspective. Not many of us grow up in a home where we have one white parent, one Black parent. And I imagine you don't see any difference between your parents.
I don't. And I got angry through the years. I got angry when this first came up publicly, at least on The View in 2014, when Barbara Walters asked me, she's like, well, why is it so important for you to be called biracial? Like, well, because I am. I don't know what she took exception to the fact that I wasn't claiming just Black as the current president was at that time. And she brought him up and I was like, well, congratulations to him, and I did say, and I said it on the podcast 2 years ago that got me in trouble that, his Black father was not around. He wrote a book about it. This is not breaking news, but his white mother and white grandmother were. And I think it's fascinating to exclude half of you. It doesn't mean I think it's like wrong and he should be condemned. I wouldn't do it. He has that right. Don't I have this right? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And apparently there's repercussions that come with it. So it has actually made me now the more hatred I get about it, I'm like, you guys can't even argue. All you say is, oh, you're a sellout. And tell me how I'm wrong. And the joke that I always say, maybe I should get another joke, but it's so true. My white mom was there the day I was born, and I believe she is as important as my Black father and my aunts and uncles mm-hmm. and cousins. When we do our big family picture, Tudor, it's so fun because if a stranger, we say, okay, if a neighbor were to come in and see this picture, they would be like, what the hell? Who goes with whom? We're all, we don't even know. And then there's, more women than men or men. I love it. Isn't that diversity? Isn't that America? My grandparents are first generation off the boat from Italy and from Ireland and like came with nothing and learning
the true
to
American English. Story.
That's what I think. Listen, they can do what they want and continue to bash me and you and others. I know that I'm right. This isn't even like opinion. I know, maybe it is, I guess. I know that I am right to be accepting and tolerant of everyone. That's what the companies preach. They just don't practice it. And I'm proof of that.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the shocking part about this is to have your own personal story attacked. Like, no, you don't get to say this because, and connecting it to the former president, connecting it to Barack Obama. Hey, wait a minute. He put himself in this category. That's the category you need to live in now. And I agree with you. It is somewhat, I mean, I don't want to say it's offensive, but it's like, well, why did you choose to cut out the white side of your family? And the way he has spoken has been, you know, his own story of oppression or whatever, but he hasn't ever said, you know, I am a this is a part of me too. And I imagine that for folks who come from biracial homes, that's kind of unsettling.
I believe it really is a product of society. And it's, I don't know, I just have never maybe noticed another culture doing this to their own. And this is a topic that, it probably needs to be a deep discussion with many people from different environments within the Black culture to discuss, you know? But when I didn't give my opinions or talk about my background, I was at the top of the world, you know? And I was on the top shows and doing all those things. And then when you start to be you, unless you follow a certain narrative, it's pretty apparent now, I think we all know, it's just not going to work out for you. And I think that that's all it was. As concerning, you know, my former employer, it's literally just be consistent.
Right. Because they were allowing people to come on and say other, your complaint was, boy, I have an opinion and this may not be the opinion that you share, but my colleagues have an opinion. And these are outside of sports opinions. What were some of the examples that you gave that your colleagues on the other side were putting out there that they were not in trouble for?
You know, the examples were so egregious. I have dozens and dozens and dozens that they, you know, they know about, the network knows about. But for example, Roe v. Wade being overturned, not only did people have very strong opinions about that on social media.
Aware of that.
They went on our airwaves during our sports programming, game coverage, with a moment of silence. That's also for the Florida, the parental rights bill in Florida as well. And moment of silence and talking about and emotions on air, talking about Roe versus Wade being overturned during our basketball coverage. What? Again, you know, I think it all began to change probably in like 2016 in that election. And people, I've always contended and I've argued with my bosses because I didn't like the kind of one-sided coverage I felt that we gave a lot. And I always said, let's stay out of it. I don't think people are coming to ESPN to hear about that. If anything, right. We're an escape. And I am so blessed to be part of that escape for people to just get away from it. And by the way, with any topic and just maybe a tough day at work, they come here to watch sports and be a fan and smile and cheer or scream at your favorite player. I would beg them not, and it just kept going in that direction. And then when we're injecting these very controversial topics during a very controversial time into our programming that has nothing to do with it, that's on us. And that's where I just fought, because I think we were too great. I say we, I guess, you know, ESPN is too great with too much of an incredible history to allow that to affect us. Because my job is to talk to the fans and to bring you those stories.
And what you're talking about is political propaganda. That, correct. I mean, if we are being totally honest here, and this is something that we've talked about a little bit on this podcast, I think people kind of feel like, oh, propaganda is a third world country term. We see this in Brazil. We see this other places. We see it in Russia. But we don't really have political propaganda here, of course, on both sides. And I'm saying on both sides we do. But yeah, it just so happens that the left controls the media, and that controls the media in many different areas. So to suddenly see people talking about a moment of silence for a bill that's passed in Florida on a sports network, it starts to call into question. I mean, and this is after, honestly, I think it's surprising, because this is after we saw the kneeling on the football field, and that really turned fans off. Fans were like, hey, we're exactly what you said. We're here for sports. We're here for an escape. We don't want to be pushed on with all the problems of the world. So to me, it's surprising that ESPN is like, yeah, we want to start getting into that game. That seems like a bad move.
For a long time, and I'm sorry, I'm at an office building and they're very loud out there. The guys yelling, I feel like I'm at a sports network again. For a long time, we got away from it. And it was really nice. And it was just, I think, a happier, safer place, you know? And then it really did change. Honestly, I think it came back with a vengeance with George Floyd and during the pandemic. And then it was like over. Then it was just the floodgates opened and everybody was able to say whatever the heck they wanted. Most people, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Everybody else. And so that's when it changed. And now... how do you put the toothpaste back in the tube? Usually you can't. You can really, really try. But my hope is that by talking about this, maybe number one, it will encourage others to not be as quiet as I was for as long as I was. Because honestly, that's the only way that this changes, is if more people stand up. And I know how scary it is. And I am the poster child for why people don't. I totally respect it. And I get it. As important, maybe more importantly, either way, the employers to listen. Because it was scary to try to take on ESPN and Disney. The last thing I wanted, like, you have no idea how that killed me. And oh, by the way, David versus Goliath, right? I mean, right. My pockets aren't deep, especially compared to that.
And everybody says, you can't do this. You can't do this.
Oh, everybody. But it's worth a try, Tudor, because if these employers don't begin to take notice, then we're done. But maybe chicken or the egg, which comes first? If we don't do it in kind, professional ways, and just continue to have the conversation, I do believe that it's on us. They've shown us who they are. These employers have shown us. Even if at the top they don't believe it, that's still how they're mandating things. And so it's up to us to stand up.
But you also saw something happening that I think is key that we don't talk about, because you saw a place, like you said, a place of respite, a place where you come and you want to escape, a place where you just get to see your favorite team and you can get mad or you can be excited, but it's all contained in a space that is supposed to be a place of rest and escape, where all of a sudden the stress and pressures of the world began coming in. And at a moment where we see a lot of mental health issues, a lot of people overstressed, overall, it seems like the country is at a breaking point when it comes to the stress level. And we actually, just before we got on here, we were talking, I heard my daughters the other day talking and they said, can you believe it's been 3 years since quarantine? And it just kind of stopped me in my tracks, because I thought, that's a part of their life. That is, yes. They see that as a season, quarantine. That thing named quarantine is a season. And so they're still coming off of that stress. I think you make a huge point when you say, leave the places of peace and rest and enjoyment to peace, rest, and enjoyment.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me so sad. I've said this. My bosses knew it. I told them very recently, before I kind of made this decision to stand up, I wanted to be a lifer here. I never wanted to be. As an Army kid, you don't have a home. I still don't know where I'm from. And I wouldn't change a thing. I had the best upbringing. But I had never done anything in my life longer, except be a mother, I guess, now. But longer than I've been at ESPN for 16 and a half years. Like, that was home to me. And I was so proud. Ugh, I get upset. I was so proud. And so I told them, I told Bob Iger, I told everybody, the various presidents we've had at ESPN, I don't ever want to leave because there's so many opportunities there and there's so many different shows you can do and different assignments. And I did so many, so much more than I ever dreamt of, because when I was 11 years old is when I told my parents I was going to do this. And you know what? I've done it. And I did it at the highest level and then some. But I'm sad that I'm not going to be a lifer. I do have a strong faith, and I do think that I'm in this moment, in this position for a reason. And this is coming from I was so shy. My parents like took me to doctors. Like I was
a
really shy, nerdy little kid, but had this crazy dream. And they're the ones that challenged me then, okay, if you want this and you have a lot of work to do, you have to change and you have to get out of that shyness. And I still am. I just know how to flip that switch at the right time. And then I go back in my little hole sometimes.
I think that's such a cool story, because so many people don't realize that a lot of the people who go out there and speak publicly, they are actually introverts, and that is a hard place
to be. Hollywood are quite often, yeah.
So I look at this and I'm like, it is amazing to me, because I think there are people that work their whole lives. I mean, honestly, if you look up your favorite folks that you see on TV every day, and it's different than when I was a kid, there wasn't this 24-hour news or sports cycle. You know, when we were young, that didn't exist. And now that does exist. And you kind of feel like these people are part of your family. You see them every day, you know? And if you look up their journey is tough to get there. And your journey, I'm sure, was the same, but you started to see things and the idea that you could say, you know what, this huge contract that most of us would honestly, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not covet, but I'm sure that most of us would go, wow, what I would do to have that job. You have to be very strong to be able to walk away. I want to get to the COVID vaccine mandates, because I think that this was actually very pertinent to what you were talking about on the scene, because you've got tennis, where you are seeing tennis players that can't go from country to country. You have basketball players that are all of a sudden not able to play basketball if they don't go in and get the vaccine. And there were these elite athletes that were saying, I am not putting this in my body because I don't know what it is. And it was like, you can't say that. That's a no-no.
Yeah. You know, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine who's in the NBA. As it feels like it's coming back.
Yeah, I know.
And all of a sudden, Dr. Fauci's out of the basement and we're listening to him again. And they're talking about masks coming back, and a couple of colleges and universities have put the mandate back out for masks. The election cycle's right here. It's all on the way. And I said, what are you guys going to do this time? Because there were only a couple of players. Kyrie Irving's the only one that said, I'm not doing it. And was willing to give up his $32 million annual contract for last year. For that, at that time, it was with the Brooklyn Nets. And that was the stance that he took. And people were like, you are so stupid. But you know what? Easy to give up $32 million when you have, you know, nine figures in the bank. But it's still $32 million. And it's still your reputation and everything else. No one else really in the NBA stood up. Aaron Rodgers in the NFL stood up. But, you know, and I talked to Aaron.
But these guys were demonized.
Completely demonized. That's why I had some great conversations with them, because they were demonized at a level 10,000 times more than me. But it was just here's the thing. They weren't alone. I wasn't alone. It's just that our peers were afraid / unwilling to take the stand. And again, we are examples of why they don't. I think, and this is what I said to my friend in the NBA the other day, I said, this is do or die time. Like last time there were whispers, and it's like, oh, I support you. But then what did they do? They went along with everything else and said, oh, get it. Or they just wouldn't talk. Because guess what? It's easier not to. Right. And I get that. But now look, because so many people sat back and accepted it out of fear. I mean, I did it too. Yeah. I had to keep my job. And so, but now we're right back there, because not enough people stood up and said something and just, or refused altogether. So if we don't do it this time, we're screwed.
And
obviously it goes well beyond sports.
And we still don't have a lot of information about this vaccine. I think that there's, because we aren't allowed to talk about it, because it was so demonized for those few players who stood up and said, I'm not getting this. Yeah. I'm afraid of it. I don't want to get it. And then you hear these stories, and social media is scary from the standpoint. You hear these stories of this kid passed out, died on the basketball court, this child on the soccer field, blood clot, this heart attack, myocarditis. You hear all of these things that we did not hear before the COVID vaccine or the COVID virus, and we don't have enough information. And so that's how fear starts. And there are people who use fear to their advantage, and they decide to manipulate it in one way or another. But I think your point is, if we talk about things openly, there's a lot less fear. But when you start to say you're banned from speaking about this publicly, there's a lot of questions behind that motivation.
Yes. How about this? How about, and I know you saw Damar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills player, that terrible scene in Cincinnati when he collapsed and almost died, apparently did die in the field. His heart stopped. How about when he came back and he did the interview with Michael Strahan, and Michael asked him, you know, what did the doctors say about why this happened? He was silent. He couldn't even answer the question. Now, does that mean it was the vaccine? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But the point is, and I remember talking to producers and other people at work saying, with Damar Hamlin and we have doctors on, we at least have to throw it out there, because if we're trying to figure out the why, as a mother, I have three kids. Two in college, one in high school. And if that's my child, you're damn right. I'm talking to the doctors about every single possibility as to why this perfectly healthy 24-year-old man, a professional athlete, top 0.01% in the world probably, collapsed in that way. We've seen players get hit a million different ways over the last 60, 70, 80 years, and we've never seen that. So tell me, all I know is that it's okay to ask. And again, if I'm his mother, I'm saying, oh my gosh, it's raining today. Is that why his heart stopped? Like, I don't care how crazy it sounds. You're going to ask everybody. We weren't allowed to ask those questions. What happened with LeBron James's son last month? Are you kidding me? Completely on the court. That's beautiful, healthy child, young man, 18 years old. You're not allowed to ask the question? That right there raises every red flag to me. And this is coming back. What are we going to do this time as a society, as mothers, as fathers, school board, mask, all of these things? To me, it's now or never.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone has a story that is happening close to them. I mean, even at our school, we had a student that had a blood clot, 15 years old, went to the hospital. They sent the student home, said, oh, it's probably just a sports injury. And it ended up going into the person's lung and they did not make it. A 15-year-old. And I got to tell you, I'm like, man, I never had that happen when I was a kid. I never had it when I was in college. My parents never had this happen. We've never heard of these things. And now I feel like way too many people are hearing stories like this and we are not allowed to talk about it. It is that, you know, even if somebody questions it out there on social media, people are like, don't you dare say that. How could you put these people in this position? But I mean, I think legitimately we're all a little bit worried. What is this and why is it being pushed on us? And why is it being pushed on us again? I think it was just this morning that they on Fox, they had someone on from Rutgers saying, yeah, we have to be vaccinated at the beginning of the year with a booster to come in. And it's like, we're still doing this? We're still doing this, even though a lot of people are wondering exactly what does this mean? Where is all the data? Because if there is nothing wrong, we are now, like I said, 3 years past quarantine. Where is all the data for all of these shots that were given? Because I know these companies have it and we haven't seen it. If it is so innocent and generic, then put it out there.
And they refuse. And that right there is all that we need to know. I think it's amazing how, you know, the whole narrative of if you get it, then you're not going to get COVID if you get the shot, and then you're not going to transmit it either. And then the masks. So all of that has been debunked. Mm-hmm. We all know now that wasn't the case. So why now? And that was after they told us that and promised us that. So now why would you trust? My dad growing up used to talk about our track record. You know, listen, you know, you got a track record and you lied to me yesterday about this. So how can I trust you today? And you got to build that back up again. And it takes a while to rebuild that trust for something as silly as did you clean your bedroom, right? This happens to be a little bit more important. The track record right now is terrible and they are hiding the data. And that is where, for me, listen, I'm already out there. I'm already talking. I'm already, you know, but I just want to implore others that not to, and just because you ask a question doesn't mean you're an anti-vaxxer.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's the thing that I think we find so frustrating. It's like, why am I not allowed to even ask?
And I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I know that the most comforting thing, one of the reasons why I'm still standing right now is because when I first got suspended and I meant to apologize and was taken off the air and all of the drama, I got so many emails and DMs from people across the world, because when it involves a bigger company and, you know, then all of a sudden people outside of the US were hearing about it too. And people who were telling me their stories and were like, please, please don't stop. I can't stop working. I had to do this. I'm so scared. Pray for me and my family. Like, and I was sobbing reading this stuff, realizing that little old me, this little girl who just had this dream to talk about sports and tell the stories of incredible athletes and overcoming adversity and real sports brings people together. You know, that is all my dream was. And now they're saying, telling me, please don't stop. I had to continue this. Like, what an honor, I guess, that it's that this happened. This, I do believe, is a blessing, because now, and it sounds so cliche, if one person can, but it is true. And I have three kids who are watching not just what I say and do, but how I say and do it. And if I preach to them, especially my daughters, they're 21 and 17 and my son's 19. And if I'm preaching to them to stand tall and stand strong, and it's okay to be you, we say it's okay for everybody else to be themselves, but what, not this, to be you and to be different and to be strong. And I don't do it, then I'm a hypocrite. And as their mother, I felt I had no choice.
I love it. I mean, I'm amazed by you. I think you're incredible. I second the thought of don't stop, keep doing it. I'm so grateful you came on here to tell your story, because I honestly think that the more you talk about it, the more people you have behind you saying, keep going, we want to see more of you. And I'm so grateful you came on. Thank you.
Thank you, Tudor, for having me and for reminding me about the possibility of fear being the guiding force between some of the hate. And so that does mean we need to lead with empathy, even when the hate comes at us, and kindness. And I promise you, I'm going to try to do that. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm watching you. I know others are going to be watching you and waiting to hear what's next. We're so excited. Everybody, make sure you check out Sage. She's out there on social media, and she is doing great, great work. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. As always, for this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.